Welcome back. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times. And it's Tuesday, the day after the Redskins' victory. And ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, Rich Campbell, Washington Times Redskins reporter. They're in the thick of this playoff thing after all, aren't they, Rich?
Yeah, last night was such an important win. The Redskins now sit a game behind the Giants in the standings. The Redskins have the tiebreaker over the Giants right now. So one win by the Redskins and one loss by the Giants would vault the Redskins into first place. It's really an incredible turnaround from where they were a month ago, sitting at 3-6, looking at playing out the string.
Now, of course, we cannot conduct this interview without reminding you that you predicted the Redskins would not prevail last night. And I have not been here as long as Andy have talking to you, but based on what he has told me, apparently your record of being wrong is enough to now qualify you to run for Congress.
That's right.
You certainly have all the criteria.
I've been lobbied on Twitter all day today that I can't pick the Redskins for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they want to ensure that the Redskins will continue to win every game.
Yeah.
My record is dropped to 3-9 on the season.
Did you think at halftime when the Giants came back very quickly and made it 13-10 that you were probably going to be right in your prediction?
I was thinking at that point that the Redskins were fortunate to be in the game because the Giants had gained 273 yards in the first half, but the Redskins had stayed alive because they ultimately defended the end zone and they held the Giants to field goal attempts. And we know with Robert Griffin, the Redskins have this big play, explosive, quick strike capability.
Yeah.
When they were within a touchdown that whole time, you just kept thinking it just takes one play for these guys to get back on top. And, you know, it actually took the Redskins 12 plays on an 86-yard drive in the fourth quarter, but they ended up jumping back on top, and the defense turned it around in the second half, and you walk out of there with the Redskins' victory.
Yeah. I had to laugh out loud when I heard that RG3 had a comment about that play where he fell down and the ball came loose and he swatted it. And he says, we didn't work on it in practice, but we saved it for the game.
Yeah. I think they all got their story straight because everybody, Mike Shanahan, Josh Morgan, and Robert Griffin, all joked about how they had, that was planned, but of course it was a lucky play in that the ball went to Morgan, but Morgan was in position, because he was doing what he was coached to do. And when you run the option like that, even if you're 15 or 20 yards downfield, like they were, Morgan was still in position to receive a pitch. Now, it wasn't a pitch, actually, but he was in a good position because he did what he was coached to do. And so it wasn't all luck. You know, when you carry out your assignments and you follow the ball, good things happen, and it did right there.
Yeah.
You know, I have to confess, Andy and I have been obviously covering the Redskins and reporting and having these usually Monday morning eulogies about their losses for years. And it's become a chore, at least until recently, to watch these games. As a matter of fact, in full disclosure, I would watch Redskin games in order to fall asleep because you would know that they would probably, you know, go far behind and never come back. But these games are exciting, Rich. I mean, these hold your attention better than anything else on television.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. I mean, I sat through just a desolate stretch at the end of last season where the Redskins played out the string, but they had no hope, and they had nothing to build on. They were playing Rex Grossman, who you knew would not be part of a starting lineup for a winning team here. At least now, even when the Redskins were 3-6 and looking at playing out the string, from a reporter's standpoint, trying to tell the narrative of this team, you had this one quarterback whose development could serve as a focus and an anchor for the story for the rest of the season. So not only do you have this development to monitor, but now the games are meaningful because they're playing well again. The defense is starting to play a little bit better. And you're right. I mean, these games are thrilling. We saw how hyped up the stadium was last night. I believe the TV ratings were very good. Saw that in an email today. So, yeah, this team is back to being watchable at the very least, and maybe even appointment viewing at best.
You know, you mentioned the crowd, and it's interesting because at one point I noticed how many Giants fans were in the stadium. There were a lot of people dressed in the colors of the Giants last night.
Yeah, and it's always like that in Washington. It's because this is a transient town, and so many people have their affiliations and then end up moving here for their professional lives, and that's common, but I think the Redskins fans were in good voice at least.
Oh, yeah.
I committed a couple false start penalties, and those are the types of things that really helped out the Redskins.
You know, it's funny. I was watching the game on ESPN, obviously, and the guy, one of the guys in the booth had just finished saying that the Giants are the least penalized team, you know, in the NFL right now. And within, honestly, it seemed like 5 minutes, there were three penalties levied against the Giants. So the guy put the kibosh on them.
The Redskins have gotten a lot better at. They were the league's most penalized team up until 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I think in each of the last two games, they've kept those totals either to five or right around five penalties in the game. So, you know, Mike Shanahan has insisted all year that they would get better at that. And that's just one reason for the turnaround here. They're playing more disciplined and letting the other team make mistakes, which we saw last night.
You know, one guy that doesn't seem to get much credit, but I think is integral in part of the Redskin resurgence, is Jim Haslett, who last night seemed to have the Giants' number. I mean, they just could not figure out what was going on. And I follow the Giants pretty closely because they're still a very good team. But they seemed to be totally off their game in the second half. They just couldn't seem to figure out the Redskins at all.
Yeah, the Redskins made some fantastic halftime adjustments, which I think every fan sort of looks to as the bellwether for good coaching. You know, can you adjust
right
in the middle of a game? And what the Redskins did was they were mixing up some of their coverages, playing sort of a zone and man-to-man mix. And then they went to almost exclusively man-to-man in the second half, and they started to pass rush more aggressively. And I think it really did rattle Eli Manning. I think the Redskins got some numbers mismatches in their favor, and you saw Manning start to miss some throws.
Mm-hmm.
Giants were 8 of 10 on third down in the first half, which is just a terrible statistic for the Redskins' defense. And the Redskins held them to 1 of 5 in the second half. So what they did at halftime changed that game, and it kept it close enough, allowing Robert Griffin and the offense do its thing in the fourth quarter and ultimately escape there.
Mm-hmm. Injuries coming out of the game last night. I know that you had mentioned that London Fletcher was wearing the boot, but he's been doing that for a little while, right?
Right. London Fletcher and Trent Williams, they're both still injured. They'll be sore all week. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't practice tomorrow and Thursday. You know, they have a short week in preparation for the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. The big news today is that cornerback Cedric Griffin was suspended for the rest of the regular season because he violated the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. So that's a big disappointment for the Redskins. And even in a prosperous time right here, they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Now they're going to be without a reserve cornerback who played 43 of 66 snaps last night. I mean, Cedric Griffin is a big part of that defense in multi-receiver sets. So in terms of personnel standpoint, you know, look, they have enough problems as it is with injuries. They don't need guys shooting themselves in the foot and taking themselves out of eligibility here. So that's a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Who replaces Griffin? Who's going to take that position?
It'll be interesting to see. The Redskins won two out of the three games that Griffin missed earlier this season with a hamstring injury. I should say Cedric Griffin in his full name every time. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. There's another guy named Griffin, as I recall. Right.
Yes, but they won two of those three games earlier this season, and rookie Richard Crawford played in those games. He has since been deactivated for five games as he's just been down on the depth chart and working to get acclimated to the NFL game. Richard Crawford is very smart, and I really enjoy talking to him about some of the nuances of playing cornerback, and the Redskins like the way he changes direction quickly. And so it'll be interesting to see if these five games on the bench helped his development at all. And then the Redskins also recently signed cornerback DJ Johnson, who played a couple snaps last night, and it figures that both of those guys will help pick up the slack. I don't know if this is a huge loss for the Redskins, but just sort of indicative of a franchise still grappling to how to deal with prosperity. I mean, that's part of establishing a winning culture. You know, is doing the right things and making sure that you're not setting your team back when you don't have to. So these guys like Richard Crawford and DJ Johnson will have to step up and grip that.
All right, Baltimore coming to town on Sunday. That should be a pretty good game, although I got to tell you, on the way in this morning, I heard a player from the Ravens talking about the fact that they fear RG3.
They should.
How can you not at this point?
Yeah.
And I kind of think this is a good matchup for the Redskins, and if anybody who knows my record picking them will not like to hear that, but the Ravens are a run-first team, and the Redskins have had a good run defense all season. And I'm not sure if the Ravens' core receivers really will scare the Redskins in ways that maybe the Giants would or even the Cowboys would. Ray Rice, their running back in Baltimore, but the offense filters through him, and the Redskins have done a great job this season stopping the run. So I actually think this game is a good matchup for the Redskins. They've got so much momentum right now. They're healthy, relatively speaking. I think it's just going to be fascinating to see how big this momentum role can get because you know, the Skins are just playing really good ball right now.
And it's clear they believe in themselves. They remind me of the Nationals near the end of their season.
All right.
And, you know, that's something that's kind of hard to quantify in terms of results on the field, but you're absolutely right. I think there is a sense of confidence that we see at the end of games last night in terms of, you know, just even running out the clock. The Redskins ran the ball against the Giants team that knew they were going to run it, and yet they were still able to get it done.
All right, Rich, we'll talk to you at the end of the week as we prepare for the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. Thank you much.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a great week, guys.
You too. Rich Campbell, Washington Times Redskins reporter, 547, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times.